It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
More people got jobs in September than expected, but job openings started to crater. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. 208,000 people were hired in September. That's the estimate from private payroll processor ADP. It is more than analysts expected. But while those hundreds of thousands of people were getting new jobs, the number of overall job openings fell dramatically in August. Susan Schmidt is here to help us make sense of that. She's head of U.S. equities at Exchange Capital Resources. Susan, let's just start real quick with why we pay such close attention to these jobs numbers. How do they fit into the inflation battle that we are all in the middle of?
Well, it's one of the many components that the Fed tracks and that investors look at closely. So job openings indicate how many jobs are available and employers' eagerness to hire. Now we're concerned that there aren't enough workers to fill all those jobs. So it feeds into inflation because firms are paying more and more to hire the people. Today's number, hiring 208,000 jobs versus the 200,000 expected number, that's reasonable for the market, but it doesn't give them the reassurance that inflation is going to come into check. They really wanted to see the number come in lower.
Now, on the one hand, we have those 208,000 people who got hired in September. Congrats to all of them. But at the same time, job openings crashed down more than a million in August. We got that number out yesterday. How do we read those two numbers together?
Job openings can be an indication of how robust the economy is. And so when there are a million fewer, that means that employers might be scaling back. They're not looking to add on as they were a few months ago. Remember that we're just seeing private payroll data now. That government data comes out on Friday.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Exchange Capital Resources. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It looks like Elon Musk's deal with Twitter is back on, after all. The Tesla and SpaceX CEO says he will buy the social media company at the originally agreed price of $44 billion. Twitter sued him after he previously backed out of that deal over too many fake accounts, he said. So what changed Musk's mind? Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business.
I think he saw the reality. Somebody convinced him of the reality that he's likely to lose the case. And later this week, he was scheduled to go into a deposition. That's where the Twitter attorneys get to question him. And I think he realized that that would not be a good day for him.
That's Eric Gordon at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Twitter stock surged 21% on the news. It is currently down about 2%. There's a lot to consider when planning for retirement. It's a major life transition to begin with, and then you've got to figure out how long your savings will last and when to claim Social Security. These days, there is one more thing to consider: climate change. Here to tell us more is Marketplace senior economics contributor Chris Farrell. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
All right. Climate change and retirement planning. Make the connection for me.
Okay, so we know that climate change is reshaping the economy and society, and that includes retirement planning. And a major reason is the increase in extreme and costly weather disasters. For example, in the first half of the year, there have been 9 weather and climate disaster events with losses exceeding $1 billion each in the U.S., and that's according to the National Center for Environmental Information.
So how does that affect retirement? I mean, I guess in one way, it affects where you decide to live, right?
Well, this is one of the biggest issues, right? Several of the most popular retirement meccas in the U.S., you know, they're the most vulnerable to global climate change and extreme weather, according to researchers. Think Florida. and the risk of rising seas and increased hurricane activity, or Arizona with its record heat waves and drought. So just as financial planners, you know, they recommend people nearing retirement, you know, factor in taxes, amenities, the cost of housing when researching where to live, well, I would add to that, investigate the potential climate change risks in the area.
So climate change is expensive, we know that. But is that not like a problem for insurance companies to deal with? Or do you think people should be saving more to deal with disasters like flooding or weather damage?
You know, we always say save more. And yes, the answer is you should save more, but it's hard to do. I mean, you know, one of the costs of all these extreme weather events with global climate change is that if you're in an area with a lot of risk, your insurance premiums may be higher. And to qualify for coverage, insurance companies may want expensive changes to the home to make it more resilient to climate change. And then you think about rebuilding a life following an extreme event like wildfires and flood zones. I mean, it takes its toll not only on your finances, but, you know, it's emotionally draining.
So if someone hears this and wants to incorporate climate change planning into their retirement planning, what do they do? How do people navigate all this?
Okay, first of all, congratulations. Second, there's not a whole lot of research out there yet, but there are resources. The best or one of the most interesting I find is the climate summaries from NOAA that offers up-to-date local perspectives on climate in each state. And Forbes, for example, has factored climate risk into its annual roundup of 25 retirement dream towns. Financial planners are also starting to talk about this more, and it's a safe bet that the data is going to get more comprehensive.
All right. Marketplace senior economics contributor Chris Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.